Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Josh has been in John 14:6, where it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." So Josh has preached, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When his way is joined with his truth, then we get the Jesus life. And so as I was driving to church yesterday, we had an event here that was so sweet for some families. God spoke to my heart and he gave me this scripture. And it's John 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing." I also want to read the Message version. I love this version. It says, "So Jesus explained himself at length. I'm telling you this straight. The Son can't independently do a thing, only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. The Father loves the Son and includes him in everything he is doing." So after I got this verse and I was driving to church, I felt like I just had this movie playing in my mind of different times in the Bible that the Father started laying out a foundation, his way, his truth, his life, in order for not only us to walk in, but what was coming. And so I want to share a couple of those with you this morning, and I've titled this message, "The Way Like Father Like Son." Guys, it's original. I could have said, "Who's your daddy?" I could have said, "The apple doesn't fall far from the tree," you know, something like that. But I just was like, you know, we're going to stay plain, like father, like son. So I want to talk about two boys. I want to talk about one boy in the Old Testament and one boy in the New Testament. The first boy, his name is Gideon. And in Judges 6, we find that the Israelites have done evil in the eyes of the Lord again. And for 7 years, God has given them into the hands of the Midianites. The Israelites were oppressed and miserable. They were led out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, but they still didn't listen to God. But God saw them and was moved and sent a messenger. As the story continues, an angel of the Lord comes and sets under an oak tree where this boy Gideon was threshing wheat. The angel of the Lord speaks to Gideon that the Lord is with him and he is sending him to save Israel. Now, at first, Gideon doubts his ability. I mean, he is a boy. But over time, he feels assured that God is with him on this mission. So Gideon starts assembling an army when God speaks to him in Judges 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away.' And then 22,000 of the people returned, and they left, leaving 10,000. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many.'" You see, God was laying out a foundation. The way where God was going to come through. So you have God and nothing equals everything. A way that didn't make sense to anybody, especially this boy. God actually told Gideon to reduce his army 2 times until it was small enough to win the battle. So Gideon's army of 300 went up against the enemy's people of 135,000. So that would mean every person in this room, we're about to fight 135,000 people that are right out those doors. Who's with me? Right? you would probably be like, who is she? And like, she needs to sit down because that doesn't make sense. But I'm telling you, I'm reminded of this scripture, Zechariah 4:6. It says, it is not by might and it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. So I'm going to leave Gideon and I want to jump over to John. This is the second boy that I want to talk about. As we talk about John 6, and we've read it before, we're talking about the feeding of the 5,000. And when you think of that, you immediately think of Jesus and the crowd and the disciples. But the boy and the scriptures mattered. Now, to the crowd, the boy didn't matter. To the disciples, the boy really didn't matter until they saw the need. But that boy mattered. And I'm sure the people were too busy because they were waiting to see Jesus and they got a little hangry. Anybody in here ever got hangry? For those of you that don't know what that is, that's hungry and angry. Hangry. Okay? They were getting hangry. But what the boy was carrying in his basket was significant, and he was chosen to carry out what would go down as one of the greatest miracles that Jesus performed. So let's go to John 6, verse 5. When Jesus looked out and saw that the large crowd had arrived, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" I love Jesus. He's just kind of tricking Philip. He's like, "Do you guys see a store around here? Where should we buy some bread?" And Philip's like, "Oh, I don't know." And Jesus is stretching his faith. And he already knew what he was going to do. That Jesus, he asks us things, and he already knows what he's going to do. Okay? Philip answered, 200 silver pieces wouldn't be enough to buy bread for each person to get a piece. So they had funds. They did have some money. One of the disciples, it was Andrew, brother to Simon Peter, said, "There's a little boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this." Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And there was a nice carpet of green grass in the place, and they sat down, about 5,000 of them. And then Jesus took the bread and had given thanks and gave it to those who were seated. He did the same with the fish. All ate as much as they wanted. And when the people had eaten their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted." They went to work and filled 12 large baskets with leftovers from the 5 barley loaves. The people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had just done. Jesus did the impossible with this small boy in a very large crowd. Now, he could have picked anybody, but he chose to use this boy. You see, Jesus was walking in his Father's way, right? The way that his Father had laid out with him. Somehow, 5 loaves and 2 fish added up to be enough food to feed 5,000. So let's back up. We have an army of about 50,000, 100,000. And God's like, "Gideon, it's too big. It's too big. It's too big. I'm going to make you a warrior with an army of 300. That little boy, I have my lunch, my fish, and my, I don't know why he had fish, but I understand. I don't like fish, but I understand. I'm like, could you not have had a Snickers and some bread, maybe some oil, vinegar, garlic, little dipping sauce? No. So Jesus is like, "You know what? I'm going to take this, and this is going to multiply into feeding 5,000. This morning, I want to leave you with 3 points, and we're gonna kind of go in on these today. The first one is, you are seen. You are seen. The story of Gideon, those Israelites have made a mess of their lives. They were depressed. They were oppressed. They would try to grow crops, and then they were invaded. They were hiding. It was an impossible situation. And you guys, you have to understand, these were the people that were set free from slavery. These were the people that walked on the dry ground in between the Red Sea that parted before them. These were the people that got on the other side. And God was like, I'm going to pour down manna every morning. Don't save it because a new fresh is coming every morning. These were the people, but they forgot who they belonged to. But God saw them and he sent a messenger to them. And then you have Jesus. Jesus was growing popular by the minute, and everyone wanted to be in Jesus' presence. He was the healer, he was the teacher, but he was just one man. He walked across the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd still followed him. And you know what he did? He saw them, and he was moved with compassion. I feel so strongly this morning, I don't know who this is for, whether you're in the worship center or you're in the family center, but I feel to say you are seen by the creator of the universe, by your father. He is your protector. He is your defender. Luke 12, verse 22 says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn nor pantry, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more you are than the birds. Let's skip down. Verse 27, consider the lilies. Oh, I remember singing a song when I was a kid called Consider the Lilies. Did anybody remember that song? Guys, I am not going to sing it today. My mom was like, are you going to sing it? I'm like, I'm not. So I'm telling myself, I'm boop, shutting my mouth. I'm not going to sing it. But I remember singing the song and I was declaring that, you know what? He sees me. At a young child, at 7 years old, I would sing this song and it was like a country twang. I had a twang to my voice when I sang it in church. People were like, did you just come from the South? I'm like, no, it's the song. It's Consider the Lilies. It's a song. But I'm telling you, as I sang that as a kid, I was singing that over myself, that I am worth more than the birds in the air, and he sees me, but yet he feeds them. So why wouldn't he see me and give me what I need? Let's keep going. How they grow. Neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, for your Father knows that you need them. Instead, if you're sitting here today and you're like, why did I come? This is the word for you. Instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, instead of wondering where that money is coming from, instead of going to the pantry and saying, I need this and I need that, instead of looking at your circumstance, this is what it says to do. This is your answer. Seek his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. So number one, you are seen. Number two, your response and our response to the Father matters. Our yes and our no, whether or not we want to join in what the Father is doing, it matters. There are so many men and women in the Bible that said yes. God asked Noah to build a boat with no rain in sight. Abraham was close to 100, Sarah was 90, and they had a baby. God told Joshua that defeating Jericho was going to come by shouting, not by fighting. God told a boy named Gideon that you are a mighty warrior and that you're going to lead Israel into a victory with only 300 men. Now, on the flip side, Jesus walked in his Father's way, so let's listen to this. Jesus asked Simon and Peter, hey, you know what? Cast your nets again. There's a surprise coming. Jesus asked 12 fishermen to stop what they were doing and come and follow him. Jesus asked the servants at the wedding to fill the containers with water that eventually turned into wine. Jesus took a boy's lunch and made it into a meal that fed 5,000 and had leftovers. Sometimes God asks us to do things that we don't understand. And you know what? He promises to do that, those things that are impossible. So these people could have said no. Our yes and our no matter. So if Gideon, he is threshing the wheat, and the angel of the Lord says, hey, mighty warrior, God wants to use you to set Israel free. No. We have that choice. Hey, little boy, can I take your lunch? There's a lot of people I need to feed. No. I'm hungry. I'm hangry. What if the parents came? No, Jesus. That's our son's snack. I prepared it. I prepared the fish. I baked the bread. There could have been a no, but there was a yes. Or let's step back. God didn't need your yes. God didn't need Gideon to say yes. Jesus didn't need that boy to give him the food. Because you know why? God could have wiped out the enemy. Jesus could have taken, you know what, can you give me those sticks and give me that flour over there? And let me see, there are a couple of rocks. Okay, I'm going to make some soup. He could have done anything because he was God. But you know what they do? They invite us in. And they ask us to join them so that we can see a story unfold that rocks our world. Okay? The third thing, there is an invitation for us. Today, God the Father and Jesus the Son invite us on the mission with them. He invites us. Hey, Christy, you know what? You want to go on this adventure? Guess what? You're going to speak tomorrow? Yes. Right? I could have been like, no. Right? Hey, you know what, Christy? This is what we're going to do. We're going to go on a wild ride, and it's going to take a while. And it's going to take a couple of years, and you're going to sow in prayer, and you're going to sow in prayer, and you're going to sow in prayer. No. What I love about the Father and what I love about Jesus is the inviting in. Because you know what they do? They say, hey, you know what? When something happens, When the enemy is beaten with 300 men, when the crowd is fed with 5,000, when they're fed, all 5,000 are fed, when God asks Christy to come in and do something, you know what he does in my time with him? He says, look at what we've done. Look at what we've done. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I know it's not me. It's all him. It was him that called me. It was him that spoke to me in my college dorm. It was him that did the miracle in front of my eyes. It was him that brought my husband to me. It was him. It was nothing me. Nothing that I did. Not me at all. But you know what he does? He's so good at bringing me in. Because you know what it does? It builds our faith. So he's like, you know what? You know what, Sam? I could use and do anything, but I've asked you. What's your answer? Is it yes or is it a no? Some of us make excuses. Oh, God, that sounds like a long time. I said that once, twice, maybe four times. Okay, I said that 15 times. But he's always right on time. Always right on time. I believe this morning that there's a continuation. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. But there was a way that was set before him in the Old Testament. And he heard and he saw his father doing the things that Jesus walked in and did himself. And now we get to join in and come along with them and do the things that they're asking us to do. It's good. That is good. So this morning, whether you're in the family center or you're here in the worship center, I just want to take a moment and I want you to close your eyes. And I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to just move in this room. He's already here. He's in the family center. The presence of God is here with us. But I want to speak to these three things for you. And I want to say to you again, he sees you. And I believe that there's healing in a place where you thought that you were forgotten and you thought you were overlooked and somebody else got the promotion and somebody else got the husband and somebody else got the money and somebody else got the house and somebody else and somebody else. And I want to speak to that and I want to say to you, his timing is perfect over your life. Holy Spirit, I just ask that right now that you would come and bring healing to that place where lies have come in. Where lies have come in and said, I am an orphan. Where lies have come in and said, I am forgotten. Where lies have come in that you only get the scraps. And I'm here today to say no, 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 no. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He was there when you were formed in your mother's womb. Your days are numbered, they're counted, and they're with purpose. So I pray healing to just cover you. Thank you, Jesus. The second thing is your response. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now. There are some areas that you have said no to him in. When there's a part of you that actually wants to say yes, but you are afraid. So God, I'm asking right now that you would bring that to their mind. What is too big that God can't do? What is too big? What is too small that God can't do? Are you in a situation where the Lord is like, nope, cut it, cut it, cut it, cut it. That's good. And you're like, you've depleted everything. How is this going to work? And then he says, I am going to work. It is going to work through me, through you. Watch and see what I am going to do. Charity, would you come? So I believe that the Lord is bringing things to your mind right now as you close your eyes. That there are things that you have deliberately put off because you don't want to say yes. There are things in the past that you have said yes to and you have gotten burned. I feel the Holy Spirit so strongly to speak to that. Maybe you said yes in a church and you have gotten so hurt and you don't want to say yes anymore. The Lord is here to heal that today. Maybe you've said yes and your family has said, you're a joke. You don't even have the resources. How are you going to do this? I want to speak to that, and I want to say that God that built the ark, the God that gave the baby to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, the God who said, you know what? Go out, walk around 7 times, and I want you to lift up a shout. The God that told the king, you know what? All the cities are coming against you, but you know what I want you to do? I want you to get a choir, and I want you to go out and lift up some worship. That's the God that you're serving today. That's the God that's saying, I want your yes today. I want your yes. And the third thing is, there is an invitation. There is an invitation to you today where the Lord and Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are saying, come on, there are things that we're going to do together. I could use anything, or I don't have to use anything, but I want to use you. I am God, and I could just do all the things, but I don't. I want to join in with you today. As we close the service, I want to ask if there is anyone in this room with everyone's eyes closed. Church, would you pray? Would you pray in the family center? Would you pray here in the worship center? If there is anyone in this room who has never received Jesus as their personal Savior, maybe you have never given your life over to this person that I'm talking about today. I want to tell you, He sees you. He loves you. He died for you. And He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to fill that space inside of you that feels empty, without purpose and meaning. And so if you're here today, or if you're in the family center and you're like, yes, I want to have a relationship with this Jesus, with this God that you speak of, would you raise your hand so I could see it? Can open your eyes. As the ministry team comes forward this morning, would you stand? I thank you for your patience, and I thank you for bearing with me. I'm just coming up here and sharing my heart, but I can't leave without saying that today the Lord is wanting your yes. He's wanting your yes. Because He's doing something so strategic, not only in this church, but in this city. And it's time for our yeses to be yes. It's time for us to have the confidence that the Lord has put something inside of you that needs to be seen in the city. And so if you're here today and God has moved on your heart and you're like, I've said no 3 times just this week because the Lord is on me about something. I want to see your hand this morning. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for our yes. I thank you for the way that you have provided. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for all that you're doing in this place and beyond Hope Church. God, I pray that today as we walk away, that God, we would know that we serve a God that feeds 5,000. That we serve a God that chooses to use us and partner with us to do the work. I pray that we walk away encouraged, walk away full of the Holy Spirit. We walk away full of all that you have for us, God, today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.